What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're on episode 42, and with me this morning, as I always say every morning, is Derek. What's going on, man?
Not much. How you been?
I'm good. I'm busy. You know, holiday season, a lot of reviews, so we're just, you know, going at full force right now. At least I am.
Yeah, you know? It seems like it's been a good week.
Yeah. Is that a train?
Sure is.
Or is a train coming into your house right now?
That's what it sounded like. Literally just busted through the door. I'm like, wow. Nothing like waiting right until we start, huh?
I know. It's like perfect timing.
Yeah, I'm pretty close to the tracks.
I thought that was outside my house. I'm like, wait a second. There's no train tracks by my house.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, does that happen at night a lot?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a ton, and you don't notice it after a while until you're recording a podcast.
Yeah, I guess it would be, I guess you would get used to it. My buddy, his house is like literally in front of train tracks.
Oh, really?
I don't know how he does that.
Yeah, where like it shakes his house.
I wouldn't necessarily say,
no.
I wouldn't say it shakes his house, but like, I mean, it's like there's his front yard and then there's train tracks.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
There's some houses by these tracks that are like, there's no way their houses don't shake when the train goes by.
Yeah.
I'm like, why would you live there? Didn't you, like, look at that when you moved in?
Yeah, that's just, maybe they got a discount.
Yeah, big discount.
Yeah. But, anyway, since you're still alive and the train didn't hit your house.
Yeah,
we will jump straight into reviews this week. So we have four reviews this week, and we actually had two cases, and both cases have the number 600 in them, which I find is kind of weird.
Yeah, I think that's real weird.
But first, we'll start with Corsair's Carbide Series 600Q case. And Corsair just launched this case, and they have a 600Q, which we reviewed, which is the quiet version, and they have a 600C, which is the clear version that has a clear side panel and all of that. But I took a look at the quiet version, and the one thing that's really cool about this case, it is inverted ATX or reverse ATX inside, which nice. I do like a lot.
It
makes things a lot easier, especially when it comes to being a quiet case. I really, really like this case. They've done a lot of things to make installation extremely easy. This is one of the easiest installations that I've had to deal with this year reviewing cases. The SSDs just go right in, completely toolless. If you're doing 3.5 inch drives, they're completely toolless. If you're doing optical drives, they are also toolless.
Is that the first solid state drive toolless bays? I don't think I've ever seen
that. No, Corsair had them on a bunch of cases.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
I gotta pay more attention
to your case reviews, I guess.
Yeah, you probably should. This might be the first time I've seen them on the backside of a motherboard tray that are completely tooless.
Okay.
But they've had them before.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it's a really great case. It's a little bit shorter than a lot of cases, because what they've done is, because it's reverse ATX, they've actually put the power supply on the top of the case.
And it's like double reverse.
Yeah, and it has its own like section up top. And that section is completely shut off from the rest of the case, so you have the power supply completely out of the way. It's just a good case. It's a good design, solid design, but you still have room inside for a lot of cooling. Three fans come included, and they do have a fan controller that's part of the case, but of course you have room for water cooling. You have room for, I believe, a 280 and a 360 inside.
Looks like it.
Yeah, so
in the bottom.
Yeah, the bottom is the longer one, which will be 360. And the one on the front of the case would be the 240. But still, there's still, like I said, just a lot of room inside. Extremely easy installation. Of course, tons of cable routing holes. Lots of room behind the motherboard tray to route everything. It's just, I can't say anything really bad about this case.
Nice.
I believe I gave it a 10 out of 10, I think. Nice. Let's see. Maybe a 9.
Definitely
9 out of 10.
Definitely different looking. Very different. Is it steel construction?
Yes.
Okay.
Steel and plastic.
Gotcha. What price range?
It is $149.99.
Okay, middle of the bracket.
Yeah, that price seems pretty reasonable considering the amount of sound dampening material. It's completely quiet. You have sound dampening material on the top or on the both sides and the front of the case. Very good sound sampling material. Like I said, during operation, it is extremely quiet.
Nice.
So that's something, you know, you pay a little bit of a premium for quiet cases most of the time.
Yeah, the material is not cheap at all.
Yeah. So, and it, like I said, it's a really well-done case. You'll definitely appreciate how easy it is to get everything installed.
Yeah. It looks like you got tons of room for graphics cards. You got a pretty big, is that the 980?
Yeah, it's a 980
Ti in there. Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, tons of room inside for everything. It's just a good case, good quiet case. And again, if you don't want to go the quiet route, you have the C version or the clear version, which the main side panel is completely clear, so you can show off your build.
So, nice. Is that the same price, or is that actually slightly cheaper or more?
Same price, because the clear side panels is a lot more. It's more expensive. It's more expensive, and it doesn't come with the sound sampling material, so it's kind of a trade-off.
Yep. Makes sense.
So, yeah.
Cool.
So, the second case with 600 in its name is Be Quiet's Silent Bass 600, and this is Be Quiet's second ever case. They came out with the Silent Bass 800, which we did review, and this is the step down from that. This is a mid-tower, fits full ATX motherboards. We received the windowed version, so there's a normal version, and then there's a windowed version. We received the windowed version, which has a big window. Of course, that lets you show off, you know, your hardware and side, all of that. This case is pretty good. It's not perfect. It's a decent case. There's just some things that I just didn't like about it. One of the biggest things was there's no cable tie-down points on the back side of the motherboard, which I think is, like, kind of commonplace now.
None?
None at all.
Oh.
Yeah. You know,
yeah, that's
you
know, that's a pretty big
what's weird is that the case did come with cable ties. So you would think that you know, there are places to tie down. I mean, of course cable ties help you kind of neat things up, but you want somewhere where you can actually tie them down to, especially when you're dealing with cases and you have a lot of wires back there. You want to tie them down to the back of the case so you can obviously put your second side panel back on.
Yeah.
And
this is, in my opinion, it's a must have.
Yeah, so there's no tie down points on this. And in order to install fans on the top and on the front of the case, you need to pop off the front and the top. And the thing with that is they're a little bit more difficult to pop off than other cases I've experienced before. So maybe for a first-time builder or something like that, you might have an issue. I actually broke one of the tabs when I was trying to take the top off the case. So that's something that obviously Be Quiet can work on and fix. We would hope they would in the future. But again, this is a case that's also made to Be Quiet. It uses their Pure Wings 2 fans. And the front of the case, as well as the second side panel, have sound dampening material on it as well.
Nice.
So yeah,
so their fans are awesome. We know that.
Yeah, it is a good case. I did give it an 8 out of 10. The only, like I said, that was the big issue. The you know, the top and the front, or yeah, the top and the front, taking them off was kind of a pain too. So. Yeah. You know, it would have scored a little bit better if it had those tie downs. That's just a big thing when you're doing a build these days.
Yeah.
Is tying all your cables down. So, but I was looks able like, to. Go ahead.
It looks like not a ton of room behind the motherboard.
There is
with
not.
With all your cables back there, it looks really crowded.
Yeah. There isn't more than enough space. I've installed in cases where there's a lot less space. Yeah. But there is a good amount of space here. You know, the tie downs would help me keep things a lot neater.
Yeah.
But still not, like I said, I was able to fit our long crafts card inside, 240mm AIO installed as well.
Okay.
So no big issues with
240 this. Looks like that'd be the limit, right?
Yeah, 240 is the limit, and it does overhang the motherboard a little bit, so you kind of have to, you know,
watch your clearances.
Yeah, watch clearances and things like that. Gotcha. But it's just a decent case. It's $89.
Oh yeah,
which isn't, you know, that kind of justifies the eight out of ten because
it always you always got to know that to put it in perspective.
Yeah, so $89, you really can't go wrong. Have nice quiet fans. There is a fan controller on this as well, so you can control those fans via the fan controller and all that too. So
cool. The window looks good.
Yeah, the window's nice. It has orange trim around it because we received the orange version of the case. Yeah. And it pretty much shows off all your hardware inside, so.
Yeah. I think that looks like a good first-time case.
Yeah, for sure. Good first-time building case, totally.
Because, and then, you know, on the other hand, when it's your first time, your cable organization is never that good anyway, so.
Yeah, but still would like to see the tie-downs.
Yeah, you want to see it, but in the right perspective, it's not as bad as I was thinking.
Yeah. But yeah, so that is the second case we took a look at. And moving on from that, we have a gaming headset, which is TT Esports Chronos AD. And the thing about this headset is we reviewed the Chronos a good while ago, maybe 2 years ago. And what TT Esports has done is they kind of streamlined this headset. So typically when you think of gaming headsets, you think of these big, bulky, kind of like, you know, just bigger headsets. Yeah. And with this, they've kind of made it not that they haven't made the headset necessarily smaller, but they've used a new auto-adjusting headband that it kind of just, and it's open in the top, so you have more kind of streamlined, open type deal. Yeah. And then the microphone is retractable, so it goes up into the headset rather than being on the side of the headset. Sort of like just more or less made for esports, made for people who are serious about, who are really serious about gaming, that don't want this big bulky thing on their head. Especially when it comes to those big bulky headsets, a lot of the times if you go from between an hour and 2 hours of use, your ears are going to be irritated, your head's going to be irritated from the headband. So this actually sits pretty loose on my head. Nice. And I was kind of worried because if I actually tilted my head back pretty far, the headset will fall off.
Really?
But the thing, at least my understanding is, the reason why it's looser like that is because the headbands on a lot of these headsets are set to be really tight on your head, and you'll get irritation after a while. With this, you're not going to get that irritation, and you're not really going to tilt your head really back that far when you're playing a video game. You know what I mean? So it's not a big deal.
Aside from maybe at the end when you've just lost.
And yeah, something like that. So, they just basically just streamlined the headset. Great sound. Microphone works really well. Very comfortable, both on the headband as well as the ear cups are really comfortable, too. Only thing I didn't like about this headset is that it is it's analog. So, it's a stereo headset, but it's not USB. So I would really like to have a USB headset being a PC gamer, that's kind of what you want. They do include two different cables, one for PC and one for mobile devices. So if you want to do any mobile gaming or something like that, this is a headset you can use for that as well. So I think it's only $59.99 or something like
that. Yeah, that's pretty cheap. What is the USB? Let's see.
The USB just power. There's LEDs on the logos, powers the logos. That's it.
Gotcha. In which case, you kind of just are dragging around a USB most of the time.
Yeah. So that's why they include the second cable if you're just using it as strictly a headset.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I didn't realize there's a separate cable for that.
Yeah.
It's cool that it's a detachable. Is that a micro USB at the top that it plugs in?
Yeah, micro USB.
That's cool.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just a good headset. Definitely would recommend it if you're looking in that price range. Very comfortable. That's the biggest thing for me was it's super comfortable.
Yeah. Cool.
And then finally, our last review is a really cool product that I think just fits. I see this problem so much, especially if I'm traveling, and especially at friends' houses and things like that, where a USB port gets – people fight over a USB port to charge their mobile device or charge any type of devices. Especially happens with smartphones. But when – you know, and the thing is that we have these power bricks – or like all these power bricks that take up so much space to like on your wall outlet, you only have like four outlets or maybe even two outlets, and you need to charge four devices. There's not a lot of room. So this product comes from InStream Technologies, and it's their Septimus B, which is a 7-port fast USB charger. So it plugs in to power, and it gives you 7 powered USB ports.
Nice.
So that pretty much can fill up. You know, you have friends over, or you need to charge a ton of things.
Yeah.
I know when we go to CES and stuff, we have cell phones we need to charge. We have battery packs we need to charge. Cameras need charge. All that kind of stuff.
It's a ton of stuff.
Yeah, so this is the perfect device for that. And what's cool about it is that it intelligently knows kind of what you plug in, and it will give the maximum power to that device, which is pretty cool.
How does it – what if you – plug in like 7 things at once, what does it choose? Does it, can it charge them all simultaneously it charges, the same amount, or does it actually have to? Okay.
It distributes the power evenly and does all that.
So are you then splitting the charge down every time you plug in another device?
No. It has a maximum output of 45 watts.
Okay.
Which is more than enough. So everything, I had 6 devices plugged in at once. Yeah. Everything charged as it normally would.
Okay. Cool.
Which is nice. You know, but that's what my fear was when I got it, because this is a company that I had never heard of.
Yeah.
Mainly selling on Amazon.
Yeah.
So I really wasn't sure, but, you know, so what I did is I plugged in one device and waited a little bit, you know, plugged in another one, plugged in another one, plugged in another one. And what my fear was is as I started plugging in devices, the other ones would turn off. And you actually find that with there's a few different products that I have here that are like maybe like a 3-port USB device like this. That's like some crappy one that I got somewhere or whatever. That if I plug in a tablet and an iPhone, one of the two will turn off.
Huh.
So that was my fear with this.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, well, it's 7 ports, but if I have a tablet that's using a more juice than, say, like my iPhone, it's going to turn the charging off for one of them. Or if I plug in more 3 devices, it's going to turn one of them off or something like that. But no, everything charges as it would, which is pretty awesome in my opinion.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It doesn't take up a lot of space. It's about the size of a hockey puck. It's $25 on Amazon. And
that's crazy.
If you go to their website, if you get it, you put in your receipt from Amazon, and they'll give you a credit of like $10. So it's like,
are you serious?
Yeah. So it's pretty awesome.
So this is like a $15 product.
Yeah. Just totally awesome. They back it with a 2-year warranty. So that's, you know, you're getting a product for say like $20. 2-year warranty. Can't really complain about that.
That's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah, and it has a pretty long power cable as well. So, you know, you can, if you have a higher desk or something like that, it's going to reach.
Yeah.
So you
don't like the middle of the table at CES.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool device. I'm really glad I got into review, because I was kind of surprised. Because, again, when you get devices like this from companies you've never heard of, a lot of times they are junk.
Yep.
And that's kind of what I figured this might be. Just, you know.
Yeah.
And I was really pleasantly surprised. Just a good product.
Yeah, and it's hard to get excited about something like this, but this seems really cool, honestly.
It's not flashy, it's not something that might get you super excited, but it's extremely it's extremely helpful. That's the thing. I was like, when I was doing the review, I plugged everything in. I was like, holy shit. I was like, this is going to be awesome. Especially like from when we go to CES, or like, you know, I have all these different things. Or like when I go out wakeboarding and stuff, I always like, my phone dies so fast, you know? So I always have like, I have like 2 or 3 battery charge, you know, 2 or 3 of the portable battery packs with me. And, you know, my friends always want to use them and stuff like that, you know? So I always bring like 3 or 4. So like I can charge all these at once.
Yeah. That's, you know, sweet.
And, it's just, it's a cool device, and the price is right. 2-year warranty. Didn't have any issues with it. So pretty awesome device.
Yeah. It looks like, I'm looking at the specifications. It looks like the smart sense is where it detects what the actual amperage is needed for each different type of device.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So you're not going to fry anything.
Yeah. And it has built-in surge protector. So, all your devices that are connected are going to be protected if something like that were to happen.
Nice. What's the micro USB? It's just a charging cable that's
included?
Yeah,
they just include a charging cable just for whatever.
Okay.
You know, whatever it may be, which is a nice little added bonus in there, too.
Yeah, and it's probably like a straight charge cable without all the data stuff, so it probably charges a little better.
Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome.
Never
thought I would be saying that about a USB charger.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I was really surprised. Again, just, you know, getting it and taking it out, and I was like, you know. And then once I tested it and realized that it actually is going to charge all my devices at once without dropping charge or something messing up or whatever, it's a good product.
Yeah, so. Seriously, I'm writing that down, because I think I need to go buy one.
Yeah, and you, like I said, if you go to their website, they have there. I looked at it last night. It's some type of deal where they'll give you like half off or something.
Okay.
So half off of $25 is like $12.50 or whatever, you know.
It's awesome.
So yeah, definitely. It is that time of year too. Stocking stuffer, perfect stocking stuffer for for a tech lover. Definitely would recommend it. So definitely check it out. So, we are running a contest, and we haven't done one in a while, which I really feel bad for, because we really should have. We'll have a lot more contests coming up into 2016, I promise you guys. The summer got so busy and everything like that, and we just didn't really... We had talked about it with a bunch of companies to do giveaways and stuff like that. This isn't a major giveaway, but it is a really cool giveaway. We talked about it a little bit last week on the podcast. We hadn't announced it yet, but it is fully announced. It's running. It's going to run till Christmas, and we are giving away a Valve Games Key. And what that is it gives you access to every title that Valve has ever made on Steam. So this includes, nice. You know, the newer games like CSGO, Portal 2, Left 4 Dead 2, the entire Left 4 Dead series, Team Fortress 2, all of the Half-Lifes, all that kind of stuff, Dota, everything. And if there's ever a Half-Life 3,
there you go.
you will get that for free. So it covers all future purchases of Valve games as well. So that's pretty cool if you think about it. You know, if there is a Half-Life 3, if there is another game that Valve develops that comes out, you get it for free.
Nice.
That's built into this game's code. So it's pretty easy. It's a worldwide contest. We will email you if you're a winner. So it's pretty easy to enter. You just, I'll go through it. But you just like Think Computers on Facebook. You like Alienware on Facebook, because those are the guys that hooked us up with the code. And then you just fill out the entry form, and that's it.
Nice.
So, yeah. Pretty easy to do that, and we hope somebody gets it that will definitely appreciate those games.
Yeah.
Talking about stuff you may want, we did our holiday 2015 staff wish list, and this is where I get all the guys on staff to compile four or five things they would like to find under the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And you and I actually picked one of the same things.
We did. The same camera?
The same camera.
Oh, that's because I told you about it.
No, because here's the thing, is that I need a new video camera really bad. The video camera that we use for unboxing videos is just outdated, and I've been looking for something. And at the same time, I've been looking for a new regular digital camera, too. So this would kind of, you know, do both.
Yeah, it certainly would.
Yeah.
The Sony A7 R2 is probably the best mirrorless camera. Well, I shouldn't say that. There's like $15,000 mirrorless cameras, but in the $3,000 range, like for the regular camera range, you know, for us normal people, it's probably the best mirrorless you can buy.
It's 4K video,
yeah,
definitely. And the thing is,
40 something megapixel.
Yeah, and the thing is too is I am a huge fan of the, like, when I get into a product, I typically like to stay within that product range.
Yeah,
because I've used it, it's worked really well. Like the mirrorless that I have, I love. And it works really well, and I don't think I'd go... If I was going DSLR, I would go to Canon, but, you know, if I'm staying in the mirrorless range, it's going to be a Sony. I really like Sony.
Their camera products are really good, actually.
Yeah, so, we both picked that. I also had a TV on there.
I picked a better TV than you, I'm just saying.
The reason I picked it, because like I said, I stay in the same product. Like my Sharp my Sharp Aquas that I have, that I still use, 1080p TV, I got when 1080p was like new.
Yeah.
Like I got this thing like almost probably 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it still works perfectly.
Nice.
So you can't say that about a lot of electronics. Like it's...
You definitely can't.
So, I mean, I literally haven't... I should like knock on all this wood right here, because it's going to like break tomorrow.
It's going to fall off your wall.
But, you know, it's like... It's one of those things where it's just like I've had that product and I like the Aquas line.
No, I understand. I definitely understand that. I'm pretty brand loyal as well.
Yeah, so I picked that new router because I have a $30 router. I put some 4K monitors to replace the two 1080p ones that I have.
Yeah, you have a 4K right now.
Yes.
For the testing. Is that an absolute like thing you recommend then?
For what?
Just to have. Cuz I mean you don't daily use it, right?
Well, it's for the test bench, so I don't have
for
it connected.
For the test bench,
yeah.
Right.
So I don't like strategically it wouldn't be good for me to use that all day because it's there's two different desks here. There's
right.
For testing, and there's a desk for like my main computer.
But I mean, is that something you would recommend to anybody that's looking for a monitor?
Right. Just now,
go 4K.
It's gonna future proof everything, right? That's why, like, when I bought that 1080p TV, way back in the day was because I knew 1080p was like, you know, everything was 720 when I bought the 1080p TV. Right. Just like right now, it's like it's smart to buy a 4K or even 5K TV because that's where we're going.
And the price is down just a bit.
Yeah, the prices are down. Like 4K monitor, definitely. If you're gaming, for sure. If your system can handle 4K gaming, like if you have a 980 Ti or a 980 or something in that range.
Yeah, or a pair.
Especially for gaming. But, I mean, just in general, it's just good to future-proof when you're buying something. And the thing is, just like displays, they're going to – they should, as I, you know, most products, especially the one I picked was the Dell – they should last you a very long time.
Yeah.
So this is something that you're going to have for a while. You know what I mean? So, and for most people, this is a big purchase. These are like $450, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is a big purchase. So this is something that's going to last you a while. So you don't want to get something 1080p and then we're moved to, you know, we're already moving to 4K.
Yeah.
For a lot
especially on a PC where it's not like the content isn't there.
Yeah. So, So, I would definitely recommend a 4K display.
Yeah.
I say...
You think the size, the 27-inch is good for 4K, or is that too pixel dense for the size?
No, it's good.
Okay.
I mean, I have a 24-inch.
Okay.
But I don't really use it. I use it to test graphics cards, so it's not like I'm sitting there every day with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I have 1440p, 27-inch 1440p, and sometimes when I'm writing, I feel that my eyes are old sometimes. I'm like,
are you running Windows 10 yet?
No.
What are you running?
No, I do know that I'm on 7.
Does 7...
I don't think it does that. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Because,
where it like auto adjusts it, the font.
Yeah. I mean, it auto adjusts all the windows too. So like, you know, you could be running 4K, but like if you're in Photoshop, it makes things look bigger, you know, to fit the screen size and stuff.
Yeah.
You should probably get on Windows 10. It's not a bad thing.
It keeps suggesting it to me, and I just got that laptop, and that's Windows 10, and it seems okay, but it also seems slightly unnecessary. I don't know.
What do you mean?
Like, it's just not that much grit. I don't know. It doesn't honestly seem that much, that different.
That's the whole point, but it's so much better. You're like Jack. You're like you guys totally. Just like, yeah, like Jack was on like Windows XP until like last year.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Well, the security stuff has had me. Oh, like, God. I was about to be there, and then they're like, oh, by the way, Windows is spying on everything you do.
Oh, jeez.
And, you know, I'm a pretty secretive kind of guy. I got a lot of things I need to keep secret.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, totally. Anyways, let's let's move on to Case Mod Friday.
All right.
Which?
Oh, I do got to point out though that the 4K monitor I picked out is better than yours too.
Oh, jeez. I stick with Dell. Dell's they're good.
You need to learn to spend.
Oh, jeez. Well, when you don't have the money to spend, you're not spending.
144 hertz, man. You got to get on the Asus.
That Asus monitor is nice. Asus makes really great displays, especially for gaming.
Yeah,
their ROG
with G-Sync as well.
Yeah, their ROG line's pretty awesome. So
yeah,
but anyway,
twice as much though. So
let's
move on. We can move on.
Case Mod Friday, which if you don't know, is a section of the site where we cover a case mod or case build each week. And this week we have probably the best Deep Cool Tristellar mod that I've seen so far. I haven't really looked for a lot, but I've seen a couple. And the thing that makes this the Tristellar so hard to mod is because it is three modular sections of a case. If you've never seen this case, it was announced this past year at CES. It's very hard to mod, and especially like you can change the way, you know, you can paint it, you can cut holes in it and things like that. But to do a like I feel like a professional build is always water cooling. It's always a custom loop, all that kind of stuff. To do that in this case is one of the hardest things to do. And this guy did it. He made a custom reservoir that's the front of the case. He actually made the case bigger so he could fit these certain components in. Custom water cooling loop. Great design, great color.
Yeah.
Just great
overall build. Stainless steel tubing, which is pretty awesome. If you are aware of the rigid tubing scene, it's pretty hard to work with. So that's and his bends look great. They flow really well.
Yeah, and this guy really did a great job. So this build was sponsored, of course, by Deep Cool, and Deep Cool wanted him to use their their own power supply, which is not modular. So he ripped, he ripped the entire thing apart and made it modular himself.
Did he?
Yeah. And he added a light-up wire to the modular cable.
Yeah, that's really cool. I've never seen that.
Yeah.
So, I was just noticing that.
Yeah, so he did a lot of cool stuff with this. This is a really cool build. And again, it's for this case, this is the best build that I've seen in this case. Again, I haven't really looked at a whole lot, but the ones I've seen are kind of like, eh, like you kind of made it cool. You know, you painted the case and you made a window and stuff like that, but this is the full build, full custom water cooling loop. A lot of cool stuff done. Again, we do link to the build log, so you definitely should check it out, just because the amount of detail that this guy did and all the things that he did with the case are pretty awesome. So,
yeah, the really cool reservoir mounted in the middle of the top section, and then the is it laser engraving or etching that's on the outside, or did he?
I'm not sure.
I can't tell if it stands off or if it's just etched, but it's a really cool design.
Yeah, and he made the panels themselves, so like he made hinges so like the panels can like kind of come out and come off. Just really cool.
Yeah, he did a great job with a case that was. He probably seriously hated this most of the way. Yeah, because there's just no extra room.
Yeah, this would have been a pain, but it came out really good. Again, like I haven't seen that many good ones, and this is the best one. So.
Nice.
So yes. So we'll jump into news, and compared to last week, I would say there's a lot of cool news this week.
Yeah.
So first, we will start with AMD, and the AM4 socket has something that we've been talking about for a while.
Yeah.
That is what Zen is going to be using, is the AM4 socket. But it comes to light that the first products based on AM4 are actually going to be APUs. In the Bristol Ridge line. So these will come out around March. So this is the first time we're going to see AMD use the AM4 socket as well as use DDR4 memory. So these new motherboards will support, some of them will support both DDR4 and DDR3, and there'll be ones that are specific to DDR4.
Yeah.
So
that dual compatibility is like so an AMD thing. They always do that.
So... Bristol Ridge, they are APUs, and they're going to succeed the Carrizo, I forget how you say that, APUs, and there'll be a whole line of these, and again, they'll arrive around March. They're going to feature 4 excavator cores, and from TDPs ranging from 45 to 65 watts.
It's kind of smart to me that they're going to launch AM4 and DDR4 support on a non-mainstream processor, right? Like, test it out, maybe, you know, maybe get see how the drivers work before you launch it.
It's gonna be good to see a common socket type, right?
Yeah,
a common socket type. So AM4, and that means the cooling solutions are gonna be the same. So motherboard designs are gonna be able to, you know what I mean? Like it's more compatible. So the more AMD products that are based on AM4 means the more compatible. More things will be.
Yeah.
So I like that. So this is the first thing we're going to see. Again, this should arrive in March. We probably will get a look at some of these at CES in January.
Yeah, I would assume.
I would assume if they're coming out in March. So hopefully we'll see something along those lines.
Probably some finished products, hopefully.
Yeah. So definitely cool from AMD. Yeah. Getting into Zen, that's a big thing everybody's looking forward to.
Yeah.
So talking about AMD, and this is a I wouldn't say a funny story, but if you didn't know, Aztec, they are a water cooling company, and they are pretty much the OEM for a lot of the major.
They're like the water cooling company.
Yeah, a lot of the major water cooling products. AIS,
all in one.
All in one water cooling. So. The Corsair's line, NZXT's line, all of those are based on Aztec products.
They own the patents to like all of the most like common and like practical pump designs. So anybody that's even trying to do it on their own almost always infringes on their.
Yeah. Patents. So to put this in perspective. Was it earlier this year? they got into a lawsuit with Cooler Master over Cooler Master's. You know, Cooler Master was breaking their patents.
What one was that? I reviewed it.
It's the Sidon, I believe.
Yeah, the Sidon. Yeah,
Sidon. Yes. Yeah. So, that happened, and
they won.
Cooler Master lost. So now, what's going on is that the AMD's Fury X uses a Cooler Master cooler inside, all-in-one
custom,
custom
AIO for the Fury X.
So, Aztec was like, well, that infringes on our patents. Stop selling it.
Yeah.
Basically, they sent this a cease and desist order to AMD, as well as one to Gigabyte, which sells their GeForce. It's for Gigabyte's GeForce GTX 980 WaterForce card, which uses which also uses a all-in-one system from Cooler Master. So, they sent this out, and they want them to stop selling the Fury X. Well, a couple days later, AMD did respond. And AMD says that they, I'll just read what they said. They said, we are aware that Aztec has sued Cooler Master. While we defer to Cooler Master regarding the details of the litigation, we understand that the jury in that case did not find the Cooler Master heatsink currently used in the Radeon Fury X infringed on any of Aztec's patents. So, as of right now, that's kind of true.
Yeah.
Because in that judgment, it was a different... different products were mentioned. It wasn't this specific product. Now, that doesn't mean that the cooler in the Fury X doesn't infringe on this patents, but as of right now, it doesn't. So we're not sure what's going to go on, but this could be interesting because I think by the time it goes to litigation and everything like that, it's not going to be a huge deal.
It won't matter to AMD anymore for the most part.
Yeah.
They just need to keep selling Fury X's for now, essentially.
Yeah. But, I mean, if there was a judgment soon, this could be a big deal because this could essentially...
Oh, yeah.
You know, it could really hurt them.
They won't have to pull and, like, rework the products. They'll just have to pay.
Yeah.
I guess they necessarily won't have to pay. They could probably sue Cooler Master themselves.
Yeah, it would be a big suing war where everybody's suing everybody.
Yeah.
Type of thing. Yeah.
Cooler Master is probably very uncomfortable right now.
Yeah. Because they already lost. Here's the thing that makes it super weird is they lost that original lawsuit, and they were ordered to pay 14.5%, something like that. They didn't do it.
Yeah,
they were like, oh,
that's right.
Like, oh, we you know.
Then they go back to court.
Yeah, so then they went back to court after not complying, and then they were ordered to pay like something like 28%.
Yeah. They had to make up the lost time on it, right?
Yeah, something. So it's just like, and now this is all coming to light. You know, I think their Cooler Master's like OEM sales of coolers to companies is kind of diminished. It's not. People aren't going to go with them because they can't really trust them at this point.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah, we'll have to see.
Like their name is the problem is, I mean, it's not like if you buy a product from them, like you can't keep using it if they lose, right? That's not the problem. But people just don't want a product that they feel is like maybe not going to be supported or something.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, if this keeps happening to Cooler Master, they've been around a long time, but you lose enough money, you can close up.
Yeah, that's the thing too. So. We'll have to see what this goes on. I think the biggest thing about this is that it could impact AMD. We'll see.
Yeah.
I think that Aztec, I don't think they would have sent that order out if they didn't have a point, you know? They didn't have a...
they're not usually... They defend their patents, but they're not like... They don't troll from what I've seen. Like, they are usually right.
Yeah,
when they're willing to go to court over it.
And the thing is that they sent the orders to stop selling these, so they're not looking for money, at least not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
But when they don't stop selling them, they will.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. So, well, again, we'll have to see how this goes down. I think in the next few months we'll kind of figure out if the cooler that's in the Fury X is infringing on the patents, and if AMD. What AMD is going to do. When that time comes. So.
Yeah. And they'll be fine.
Yes.
It is funny. AMD has just.
I know. It's like one thing after another.
Are you like the worst luck? And it's been forever that way. So.
Yeah, it's like one thing after another with them. But talking about AMD, on a brighter side of things, some information was released that a major tech overhaul is coming to Radeon GPUs in 2016. And I think AMD, a lot of things are going on there, and they really realized that they needed to do a lot of things. So the first thing, and this is all related to display tech, so monitors and things like that.
Yep.
So the first thing is that AMD is redesigning FreeSync so that it will work over HDMI. So currently, FreeSync only works over a DisplayPort 1.2a connection, and now it's going to work over HDMI. Now, this doesn't mean that any HDMI monitor will support FreeSync. It means that the monitor itself has to support FreeSync.
Just means that you can do it over an HDMI cable now.
Yeah, so AMD did release a list of monitors that will be compatible. So that's something to look forward to, obviously, in the future. The second thing is that AMD will be implementing high dynamic range support on their next generation of Radeon GPUs. So currently, the AMD Radeon GPUs support 10-bit HDR. Over Direct3D and OpenGL, and the new HDR will be the 10-bit is 30-bit color, 1.07 billion colors. The new one, the new HDR, will be 32-bit, 16.7. Or wait, I'm reading this wrong. I'm
telling you. Got it backwards.
Yeah, it's the other way around. But anyways, it's gonna
look. It's like. 300% more color.
Yeah, it's like 300% more color. AMD says that 1080p HDR will look better than 4K SDR content. So much more vibrant colors, a lot more colors.
That's all well and good, but like from photography, like HDR is oftentimes just blown out. Like that's referred to as that. So I don't know if this will be like. When you look at a picture. When you see brighter colors, it immediately makes you think it looks better, but less true to what the actual picture is supposed to look like, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know if this is just a marketing gimmick or...
Yeah, not sure. They do say...
Obviously, the photos they use as examples look better, but...
Yeah. AMD says that they're working with developers to get this into games. I think this would be a good thing for gaming.
Oh, okay.
For sure. So... So, yeah, that's the second thing. And the third thing is that AMD will be implementing DisplayPort 1.3 HBR3. And this is a display interconnect with a bandwidth of 32.4 gigabits a second, which is 80% higher than HDMI 2.0. So this will enable 5K at 60 hertz on a single connector.
That's pretty good.
So, yeah.
Can their GPU run it?
Yeah, that's the thing, too. And 4K at 120 hertz. So
that's pretty good.
So, yeah. So that's their new things that it's kind of good to see these things. It's good to see them talking about it. You know, that's the thing, too, is so many times with AMD, it's like we don't know what's going on, right? They don't talk about it.
What features are going to be supported or not. Because usually they don't have the features.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So it's good to see them talking about it. It's out there. You know, this is what we're working on. You know, it's because you see that from NVIDIA all the time.
Yeah.
So it's good to see.
It's like every other week there's a press conference.
Yeah, so it's good to see that for sure. Talking about graphics cards.
This is pretty cool.
Kingpin, who is EVGA's in-house overclocker. And there's graphics cards based around him.
And that would be just the coolest job, honestly. I want to be an in-house overclocker.
Yeah. What's funny is, like, all I can think of is, like, there was some in-house overclocker from Gigabyte, and, like, one year at CES, he just got drunk and, like, didn't show up anywhere. Like,
are you serious?
He was just, like, missing in action because he was too drunk. Like, he just, like, got drunk. Like, that's all he did.
He just came to see us and got drunk on Gigabyte Money.
Yeah, basically. I mean, he probably doesn't work there. I mean, he probably is not there.
He probably does. Those guys are like rock stars there, though.
Yeah. But, anyways, he took the GeForce GTX 980 Ti all the way up to 2200 megahertz, which is pretty crazy. Obviously, using liquid nitrogen. And with this overclock, he broke three 3D Mark Firestrike world records. 3D Mark Firestrike single card, Firestrike Extreme single card, and Firestrike Ultra single card. So, broke all the records. Pretty awesome.
Which happens. I mean, it's just a back and forth thing. But yeah. It's still, I mean, it's so cool.
Yes, for sure.
What's he got? He's got 1.7 volts, 1.753 volts. That's pretty high.
Yeah. Definitely need the liquid nitrogen.
Yeah, which is just, if you've never done, it's a blast.
Yes.
Honestly, like, literally, these guys are just, like, playing with toys for a living, which is awesome.
And getting drunk.
And getting drunk at CES. Yes. Evidently. This card, and speaking of this card, too, I mean, you can't do that without a card like this. It's got, what is it, 2 8 pins and a 6 pin. There's so much power delivery on this card. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely a nice card. That card is for sale. You can buy it.
It is, yes.
I don't know how much it is.
It's a bit of a premium. I think it's 100 or 200 more than the standard.
Yeah. But it's still a great card. It's good to see. I love to see the overclocking going on. It just shows you what you can do, how far you can push these things. And obviously it lets them kind of test their designs as how much they can take and...
It's not all PR. I mean, these guys are helping develop products for them.
Yeah, for sure. So, we'll move on from that to Asus. And Asus released a pretty interesting motherboard. It's their Maximus 8 Hero Alpha. And the thing that's interesting about this is that it has two native RGB LED headers. So, what these are used for is you can... connect a RGB LED strip and connect it via software, which is cool because typically RGB strips, what you would need to do is they would either plug into a USB port and or they have a controller that you can control.
Yep.
That comes with the controller. This is that Asus will sell their own LED strip called Aurora, which would be sold separately, which I feel is kind of weird. I figured it should come with the board. What this gives you full software control over these headers, which is kind of neat, I think. That we haven't really seen before.
I also see people making their own cables for it. I mean, all you gotta do is put some pins together. It's clearly labeled. You got a 12 volt green, red, and blue.
Yeah.
You can easily make your own 4 pin.
Yeah, and I assume that some could just connect directly in. I don't know about the compatibility with current RGB LED strips, but
it's all about what you buy, which strip you get. But I mean, all you got to do is get those little pins, and you can solder them onto the end of the strip. It wouldn't be that difficult at all.
Yeah.
So that's really cool that it's supported. Because like you said, it's kind of a pain. Like especially, I hate the individual controller. It's a bulky thing. You got to hide in the build hide it.
And the thing is too is if you want to change it, something you have to open up your case, you can do this, you can just, it's all in the software, you know.
Yeah, and it's like, it's got breathing, strobing, color cycle, music effect. I mean, you've messed with keyboards that do that, but dude, your whole case, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
so it has two headers, so you naturally two different strips can be supported there, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It will have a slight premium. It's pretty much, this has the same feature set as the Maximus 8 Hero.
Right.
These headers have been added. I'm not sure if there's any other difference.
Okay. Which is a pretty decent board, too.
Oh, it's a nice board. It's a really nice board. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely cool to see that. Going back to Intel,
right?
They will be releasing their most powerful NUC ever in 2016. Codenamed Skull Canyon. So this will feature a Skylake CPU with Intel's most powerful implementation of its ninth generation Iris Pro graphics. So it will have 72 execution units and 120 megabytes of eDRAM L4 cache. It's good to see these because these can actually be extremely powerful, especially for people who aren't doing crazy intense gaming or anything like that. You know, these NUCs, the thing that's great about them is they're so small, which means the application can be anything.
Right.
So,
and they're really power friendly.
Power friendly.
Usually.
You can do a lot with them. I mean, these can obviously be used for simple web machines or something like that. But, you know, this one is going to be pretty powerful for its size, which, you know, it can be done more intense tasks, maybe even some light gaming, things like that on it. So
maybe, well, I mean, whether you can get close to it or not, I'm sure this will be at CES.
Yeah, we should be able to take a look at this at CES. And if we do, we will definitely... let you know how big it is, because we're not sure how big this one will be, just because with the Iris Pro graphics, you might need some better cooling on it,
right?
And things like that. So, not exactly sure how big it is, but if it's super small, it's gonna be great. I'm a huge fan of the NUX, so
yeah. See what it can do and how big it is.
Yes. Now we're on to gaming stuff, and there's a couple cool gaming stories this week. The first is that Epic Games released their announced trailer as well as gameplay trailer for Paragon, which we had talked about previously. And this turns out that Paragon is going to be a MOBA game, which some people might be disappointed about. But if you watch the gameplay trailer, typically MOBAs are kind of in the RTS style above the cameras above the player. With this, it's a third-person view, and it's kind of what I said earlier is it kind of bridges the gap between a MOBA gamer and maybe like an FPS person or something like that. Where you actually there's a lot more action in the game. It's not just clicking on units and they're doing things and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
This is completely different. I really like it. The gameplay trailer makes it look awesome. I would definitely play it. Open beta will start next summer, which is that seems like forever.
Yeah, it really does. Got to make it through winter.
Oh, I know. Because I watched this trailer and I was like, I want to play this now.
Yeah.
So it looks good. It looks great. Of course, you know, we know Epic Games from they did Gears of War and the Unreal. They're the ones who created the Unreal Engine. So it's going to be a really good game. It looks great so far.
I mean, it just looks like a MOBA shooter, so.
Yeah, basically, that's basically how you kind of define it, like a MOBA shooter. So I'm pretty excited about that, because I'm not really a fan of MOBA games. I've played League of Legends, and it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I have too. It just wasn't.
Yeah, it's just
wasn't my thing.
Yeah, it's just not my thing. But if putting it in this perspective with kind of, like I said, molding both a MOBA and shooter together into one, I really like that idea. It's going to be competitive as well. Not only team competitive, but, you know, you're going to have to know your hero, the hero's abilities and the things that they can do and things like that.
Yeah. And there might even be, it's hard to tell exactly from the videos, but there might even be, like, some actual skill, like, as far as targeting goes.
Yeah, things like that. So, pretty excited for it. This would be one of the games we'll be looking forward to next year.
Yeah, for sure. Especially since it's supposed to be free, right? Free to play?
I believe so, yes. So, we had talked about this before, it's like earlier in the year, we talked about it, a handheld PC gaming machine. It was the first called the Steam Boy, and then they changed their name to the Smog Zero, and now it's the Smog Z. And it had just hit Kickstarter, so the unit will cost around $325 US, and that's the standard version, and then the higher-end version, the pro version, will be around $542. So basically, think of a handheld gaming device, say like PSP kind of deal.
Yeah, it looks just like a PSP to me.
It's basically a PC that will play games from your Steam library, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But the problem that I have with this is that, one, it's not coming out till next year. So by next year, the hardware that's inside is going to be outdated.
Right.
Secondly, is it is based on Kickstarter, and they have to reach certain goals to do certain things.
Yeah.
So that if they don't reach $1 million raised, instead of 64 gigabyte hard drive, it's going to go down to a 32 gigabyte hard drive. If they don't reach $1.5 million, the screen's going to go from a 1080p screen to a 7. You know what I mean? Like, things like that just like bother me.
Yeah,
you know what I
mean. It doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, it's just like,
you why don't know, you just sell a more expensive version?
Yeah, and the thing is, like, again, the coming to market in 2016, we're gonna have more powerful. Powerful things, and
yeah,
it's just you know, and like, and I said,
and they're already naming what parts are going to be in it.
Yeah, what parts are going to be in it, and things like that, and you know, Nvidia could come out with their handheld Shield Steam machine or something.
Yeah,
you know, we don't know. You know, there could be all different kinds of things. It's
cool. Kickstarter is cool, but I also really don't like the model at all.
Yeah, and I mean, we've seen some shady things go down on Kickstarter for sure.
Yeah.
It
just seems there's so much hype around, like, it's treated like the product actually exists, right? But like, it's so not even close.
Yeah.
And that's I guess what I don't like about it.
That's the big thing I see with this. It's a cool concept.
If it existed right now.
If it was out right now at that price, I would say it's a decent deal. I'd have to use it.
Yeah.
Obviously, to see what it's like. But at that price and what it can do, yeah. I mean, wouldn't you like to have something like that you could just load up and play PC games on?
If you had a 1080p screen in between your hands, that'd be great.
Yeah, and then you had access to your Steam library? Hell yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And the thing is, too, is this says, what, a September, October 2016, you know, likely going to get pushed back.
Yeah, because they always do.
With all these Kickstarters and things like that. So
that's a year away.
Yeah, that's the problem with this.
You know? A year from now, absolutely, we'll have better mobile GPU and CPU.
Yeah, from both AMD and NVIDIA.
Yeah.
So hopefully
they... I mean, but they named that those parts, right, in the Kickstarter?
Yeah.
So, like, are they stuck at that then? They have no choice to change it? Because, like, that just seems so short-sighted.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really read the specifics on the Kickstarter, but
right.
That's the specs that we list are the... That's
like,
what's
wouldn't, listed. To me, wouldn't you design this, like as, like, a shell, kind of, and then you can fit whatever... parts.
Yeah, I think it's a lot more complicated.
I'm oversimplifying it, but that, you know what I mean, like,
yeah,
so that you can go to the next best part. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not a hardware engineer, but it seems like that's what you would not want to do.
Yeah, it's just like I said, the timing of this is bad for me. You know, like I said, if this was out now, it would definitely be something to take a look at, but it's not, and it won't be for another almost a year. So
and at CES, there will be 10, 20 things like this, I would say.
There'll be...
Maybe not that many, but
maybe not a lot. Many,
there was, even last year, I mean, there was already for Android type, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, if you're working on it for Android, stepping over to Steam isn't that big of a leap.
Totally. So like, you get excited.
outdated before you even came to market.
Yeah, but you do get excited. You know, and then it's just then it's, the thing is, when I first heard of that, I was like, this is gonna be awesome. It's probably gonna be super expensive, but it's still gonna be awesome. And then you hear about it, and then you're like, it's not coming out for a year.
Yeah, like you said, if it would have came out with the rest of the Steam machines, awesome.
Yeah. So talking about gaming, there was a really interesting story to come out this week that I didn't even know about, and that's why I really found it interesting, because there is this website called Valve Time, which pretty much is all about Valve and Valve games and Valve game development and things like that. And I think if you're really into gaming and you're into Valve games and what they have going on, it's definitely a site to check out. Well, apparently, Valve was not only working on Half-Life 2 Episode 3, which never came out, they were also working on Half-Life 2 Episode 4.
Hmm.
And this was going to be a completely different game, a completely different story that didn't follow episode 1, 2, and 3. And apparently, there were screenshots that just have come to light now of the development of the game and the, you know, what the story was and things like that. And these guys from Valve Time, they actually have a YouTube video up that kind of goes over the story of it and everything like that. And it's really interesting, because this stuff happens all the time, and we typically never hear about it. We never hear about the development of certain games, you know.
Yeah.
Because they just don't come out, so we really don't know about it. But you'd be surprised at so many cool games that were in development that you just didn't even know about.
Seriously.
You know. So, yeah, so it was, you know, Half-Life 2 Episode 4. There's about, what, 12 screenshots and the story behind it. So if you're into that, definitely go ahead and check it out. I thought it was really cool. I actually watched the entire video, which is like 10 or 12 minutes.
Oh, cow.
Yeah, it's really cool. I thought the story was really cool behind it. So
yeah.
If you're into that, definitely go ahead and check that out. And that is news for the week. Pretty long news week, I think.
Yeah, pretty exciting.
Yes. Good so, stuff. Next week, we have 4 reviews that I will hopefully get done. That we'll see. I should be able to get them all done.
If you don't collapse.
Yes. So, first, I'll be taking a look at MSI's Z170A SLI Plus motherboard. This is a pretty cool motherboard. Really like the color design. It has, like, all matte black. It's, like, blacked out.
Oh, yeah.
It's really cool. Obviously, with the name SLI, you have full SLI support in there as well.
Yeah. This is pretty standard level board.
Standard level Z170 board from MSI. And you'll be taking a look at a case from Fantex. You're taking a look at the Enthu Evolve ATX.
That's right.
Which is the ATX version or the bigger version of the Enthu Evolve.
Yeah, it's the same design, essentially. It's the same aesthetic design. It's a bit different, though, because I did do the ITX version of this case, which I really, really liked. And so did I have, yeah, and you did it as well. And it's a great design. What we get here, though, is we get aluminum exterior and a lot of really cool features, to be honest. It's one of the best cases I've ever reviewed.
Oh, that says a lot. That's a bold statement.
Yeah. I expected it to be a good case, right? Fantex does amazing work since the first case they've come out with. But I didn't expect to be this happy with it, though. You know, I just thought it'd be just another good Fantex case, but it's on its own level, I think.
Nice.
So. Definitely check the review out, because if you're in the market for a case and you're not considering this, you're missing out.
Well, that's pretty awesome. Yep. I'm excited to read your review, because I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, well, you've been busy.
Yeah. So, I will be taking a look at a gaming mouse, and this one comes from Mad Catz, and it is their Rat Pro S.
Nice.
And they have a Pro X, which is a super high-end. I think it's a $200 mouse. This is the $70 mouse, which is a step down.
Not still, quite that.
Still a lot of the same design principles. I had a Rat 7 MMO, which is I used that mouse for, like, ever.
Okay.
It was so comfortable. If you've never used one of the Mad Catz Rat mouses, they're awesome.
Right.
Design-wise, they're made really well. Quality materials, a lot of interchangeable parts, a lot of adjustments, things like that. So I'll be taking a look at that. And then finally, I'll be taking a look at a new flash drive. And what's interesting about this one is it is USB 3.1. So it is Kingston's HyperX Savage USB flash drive.
Nice.
And that's speeds up to 350 megabytes a second.
That's really, really fast.
Yes, USB 3.1.
What size are you checking out?
128 gigabytes. Yes.
Nice. It looks cool.
Yes, so that is coming up next week. Very busy week.
You can do it, Bob. I believe in you.
Yes. Did you do anything cool this week?
I checked out a couple new things. our buddy Oz recommended a podcast called Serial, so I checked that out.
Yeah, I saw you guys talking about that. What is that about?
The first season is about, it's like a murder investigation at its simplest, but it's
a podcast.
But it's a podcast, it's a weekly podcast, and it's like, it's from, the investigation is it's a murder in 1996 in Baltimore, Maryland, and this lady goes back and investigates it. And because it's kind of one of those, like, it's, the case has been settled, but like, it doesn't make sense kind of deals. So she's like revisiting it, and like, the narrative is just like incredible though. So it's so worth checking out if you do the podcast thing. Cool. Just search for the word Serial. And then I watched a movie called, that actually came out in 2014, called Kill the Messenger. Did you ever see that?
No.
It's, the Gary Webb story, who was a investigative journalist in Sacramento, California, I believe. It's based in the mid-90s, and it's about the CIA cocaine smuggling deal where they were bringing... with the Nicaraguan Contras, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, they essentially started the crack epidemic in South Central Los Angeles. They led to it.
The Oliver North, yeah.
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 And that. This is about the guy that broke the story, and they essentially ruined his life.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'll definitely check that out. I like stuff like that. I love sort of like based on real.
Yeah, I don't know how much of it is like exaggerated, but it's definitely based on the real story.
Yeah.
And since I feel like this guy got done wrong, it's like worth watching just to like honor him as a, like a journalist, right?
Yeah,
I kind of feel like we're in the same sort of vein of work. So
yeah, that's awesome. I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yep.
I didn't really do much this week.
No time.
Just all reviews and news and working on stuff and scheduling CES meetings and.
Yeah, you've been filling that calendar up.
Yeah, man, it's gonna be a busy week at CES. I'm pretty pumped about that. It's 3 weeks away.
Yeah, counting down. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm pumped. So definitely just getting everything ready for end of the year. We have if you follow us on Instagram, I posted a picture of everything that I specifically have to review.
And
it's a mound of products. So I'm trying to get as many reviews done during the week as I can. I'm obviously keeping up with news and everything else that we have going on, and we have our end of year articles coming up and tons of stuff. So it's just a really busy time for us here. We're trying to get as much done as we can for you guys. And then, as I said, we might be launching another contest this weekend to get in details. So we'll have two contests running at the same time for Christmas time for you guys. So. Nice. So that's pretty much it for the podcast. As always, guys, we'll have a full page of show notes. So if you hear something we're talking about, well, we will have a subsequent link for it, so you can go ahead and check it out. You can always check us out on iTunes. It'd be great if you could subscribe as well. Think Computers, all one word. Same thing on Android. Just type in Think Computers Podcast. Obviously, in Google, you'll find all of those things. So that is basically it. So until next week, catch you guys later.